think we found a part of the pterodactyl under Fashion Island.
This is Studio 360, and I'm Kurt Anderson. Tony Hale is magnificent at playing a certain kind of adorable, ridiculous freak. First, on the sharp, super funny comedy series Arrested Development, as the man-child Buster Bluth, this totally codependent, helpless mama's boy with a prosthetic hook.
Buster!
It's a bird!
I know it's a bird! I'm on the phone!
It walks on my pillow!
And now he's about to start the third season of HBO's Veep. His character there, Gary Walsh, is the totally codependent, hopeless, devoted aide to Julia Louis-Dreyfus's vice president.
Remember, take care of Selena, okay? VP stands for very precious.
Wait, I think I see a pattern here. Tony Hale, welcome to Studio 360.
Thank you. And you do see a pattern. You're absolutely correct.
And given the pattern-ness, was there any reluctance to take the role on Veep?
No, because, I mean, I was a huge fan of Armanda Iannucci, who created Veep, and then obviously Julia Louis-Dreyfus, who plays the vice president. And I kind of see Gary, the character on Veep, as kind of a high-functioning Buster. Buster
right.
Pretty much can't probably leave his room.
Yes.
He's probably just rocking in a corner. Whereas Gary, you know, he can handle society. And he actually steps up to the plate to defend his woman, whereas Buster does not defend his mother at all.
That's true. Now, Arrested Development was only on the air for three seasons and canceled in 2006. And ever since, its resurrection in some form or another was rumored. Did you finally make peace with the fact that, that's never going to happen, I'll move on?
Totally. I mean, when it finished in 2006, you kind of – I think with any kind of job you have, you kind of go through a mourning process when it's done and you kind of, you know, lay it to bed. And then the opportunity that, you know, when it just came to do it again, it was very, very surreal. And actually, I mean, honestly, I was cautious kind of doing it again because there was so much expectation put
yeah.
on it. And Buster is such an extreme character. But when I got on set, the first day I was on set, the whole cast was there. And when I heard everybody's character talking, and specifically Jessica Walter, who plays my mother on the show, her degrading, you know, patronizing ways in her voice, it just clicked right back in. It was just like riding a bike again. It was very Pavlovian and terrifying at the same time.
You were trying to push me out of the nest. You were right.
Really?
Yes. I've grown. And I'm in love.
Hamster or turtle?
Don't bother. Hamsters are gross. It's a female. Human. Female. Human. Whole thing. So, your parental responsibilities are complete.
What?
I no longer need you.
Well, you don't have to go that far.
I'm not a mother boy anymore. I'm a mother man.
And you slipped right in, even though it's 7 years later, as though time had not passed?
Yeah, and I didn't think, I thought it would take a little more work, but once I heard her voice, man, it was just, it just clicked right back in.
On Arrested Development, as they finally said, okay, we're going to do this new season, did you then go back and rewatch the first three? Or did you just go with it and wait to be Pavlovianly commanded by the actress playing your mother?
I did. I kind of watched, because what's funny is I was watching the first season of Arrested, and I kind of skipped into episodes and up to the third, and Buster just got crazier and crazier. And so doing the fourth season, you know, I kind of wanted to, you know, just kind of ground him more, and just because the circumstances were so nuts, and just to kind of how would a person react to those circumstances, because Buster's had some pretty crazy circumstances, like his hand was bitten off by a seal, he's, you know, dating Liza Minnelli, you know, he goes to mother boy conventions with his mother, you know, it's some pretty nutty circumstances, so you could just kind of see how a person would just react to that.
If Arrested were to go on forever and ever, would Buster ever grow up, or would he just have to wait for her to die?
I hope not. I hope he never grows up. You really see kind of the depth of his depravity when there's some scenes where he begins to make a doll of his mother, a dummy, because she's not there. And you think, well, my God, it must be like months that he's been away from her. It's been 2 days. You know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, he really cannot stand 5 minutes outside, away from her.
Beyond the mama's boy part of him, one thing I love about the character is that he seems to me kind of a poster boy, emblematic of a what I think is this real and large-scale shift of the last couple of generations, which is adults who never managed to grow up. Is there some realness in him that you have drawn on from your life?
From my life.
Not from your life, but from the people you see. The people like him, not you.
Yeah. It's like, oh, good God, this is turning into therapy. Well, yeah, I mean, I think you do find situations where the parents, I mean, obviously Buster and Lucille are extreme cases, but where the kids are so smothered and they're so kind of helicopter parenting their whole life, and they just kind of live in this constant state of fear because their parents are giving them this fear of what's out there.
And now that you are a parent of a kid, have you taken that in that idea of non-helicopter parenting to heart?
Man, I mean, it's so easy to say, but it is hard to not be a helicopter parent. When I see someone, you know, in the past, if I've seen a child be mean to my daughter, it's just this rage that comes over you and you wanting to take over and, you know, stand up for her. And of course you do at times, but it's like they've got to walk through that. And that is tough.
Yes.
I mean, that is really, really, really tough. And you also, I mean, they're so innocent and so sweet. And the minute you see something harsh happen to them, you're just like, no, they're being poisoned, but like they have to walk through that.
Absolutely. Now, speaking of paying attention to the people you're responsible for, on Veep, you play the vice president's personal aide, her body man, attending to every possible need and whim. Mm-hmm. Veep has a level of realism, not documentary realism, but it seems like those characters are very realistically ambitious and egomaniacal and awful.
Yeah, I love that. Especially with politics, you do kind of hear these perfect sound bites. You kind of see people posturing for power. But the fact is they're human beings who are just like pressure cookers for massive decisions of our nation. And they have to freak out behind the scenes. They have to get insecure. They have to lose their minds. They have to vent. And I love that Veep kind of takes you behind the scenes and shows you that, shows the humanity. I mean, obviously it's a satire, but it really kind of brings the humanity back to a little bit.
I want to play a clip from Veep so people know what we mean.
Are we early?
Yeah, I want to get there early. I want the people who are on time to think that they're late.
Oh, mind games. Love it.
Yeah.
I appreciate the reference to my potential suicide earlier. I'm not a joke.
No, you're the guy with the big bag of lip balm, Gary. You're f***ing Kissinger. Gosh.
Every single thing you say to me is emasculating. Do you realize that?
Yes. Yeah.
That is Tony Hale from Veep.
Yeah. He's trying so hard to convince people, like, do you see what you're saying? And they're like,
yeah, we
see it. It's clear.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah,
okay,
exactly.
Well, as long as you got it.
You were not a kid when you got your breakthrough part in Arrested Development. You were 32. You'd been an actor for a decade or more. Had you gotten to the point where you worried, like, is this show business thing going to work out?
You know, it was one of those things where I was in New York for 8 years doing commercials. I did mainly commercials in New York for a long time and then theater. My first theater show was Shakespeare in the Parking Lot, where we did Taming of the Shrew in a parking lot in the East Village.
I can imagine being 32 and having had the career you've had and thinking like, geez, maybe my parents were right. Maybe I should have a fallback career.
Oh, yeah. But I think when you're in the business, I would say every single day you think that.
Yeah.
You're kind of like, I mean, should I be doing this? I mean, I knew I wanted to do it and just kind of keep walking with it because I enjoyed it. I was getting commercial work and then just kind of getting more accustomed to kind of like it's job to job. It's gig to gig.
As I was reading about you, I saw that you went to college in Alabama at this Christian college, Baptist college, and then to graduate school in Virginia at a Christian institution. Is traditional Christianity a big part of your life?
It is. I mean, it definitely is. It's there are people that I would like to take the microphone away from because it gives a bad rep for the other Christians. But I will say in my business, and I'm talking about uncertainty, to know that or to believe that someone has my back, really.
Right.
But I mean, I will say also with my faith, it's taught me a ton of lessons, actually. And one, I remember when I got when I booked Arrested Development, I remember going because, I mean, all I ever wanted was a sitcom, and that's all I ever wanted. And I remember when I booked it, I remember this place of going like, oh, this doesn't satisfy the way I thought it was going to satisfy. And I was really frustrated and slightly depressed. And it was just that kind of lesson, that life lesson. This really isn't just about faith, but it was just kind of, if you're not, and I feel like if you're not practicing contentment where you're at, you're not going to be content when you get what you want.
Yep.
And my whole time in New York, I just was constantly looking to that sitcom, and then it really, I wasn't being present. And it's, ever since then, it's just been this, which I think is spiritual, just like owning where you're at and making the most of where you're at, and waking yourself up each day to where you're at. Because it makes everything else just, well, you're living it rather than so far into the future. I literally just turned into Oprah.
That's all right. Well, I invited you to. And the fact that you, that both Arrested Development and Veep, neither of them are in any way pious or reverent shows, and here you are a Christian. Does either of those things make it awkward for you in godless Hollywood?
No, not at all, because it's life, man. I mean, I think Christians that are, or really anybody for that matter, who are trying to put up a perfect image or how it's supposed to be, they're clearly not, acknowledging their own stuff and that everybody's got stuff. With both Arrested and Veep, I love that it shows just kind of how twisted people can be. But then you also see that, I think everybody acknowledges, wow, that's pretty twisted. Let's maybe try to go the opposite direction or, not follow this example and just use the comedy that way.
Tony Hale, it has been a pleasure. Thank you very, very much.
Oh, thank you for having me. This was fun.
Good.
Well, I feel just like a child.
You can see all four seasons of Arrested Development on Netflix, and season 3 of Veep starts airing on HBO next spring.
Well, I feel just like a child. From my womb to my tomb, I guess I'll always be a child. Well, some people try and treat me like a man.